everyone. Welcome all. Step right up. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 91. On its way, coming at you right now. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is The Brant, and I am your host for this episode of Portal Gaming Podcast, which we are titling, "I Was Not Elected to Watch My People and Suffer and Die While You Discuss This in a Committee," because this episode is going to be by committee. You're going to have me covering games up front. Kathy and I are going to do a comparison of Shards of Infinity and Hero Realms. And Zephra's going to give us her review of Century Spice Road Golem Edition. And we will tie all those pieces together, Frankenstein monster style, to give you this episode by committee. Howdy, everybody. Good to see you. Portal Gaming Podcast, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Kathy, Zephyr, and I are headed to Dice Tower Con. Brian will not be able to make it this year. This is not the year of cons for Brian. Lots going on at the store, but that's good. If you're too busy for cons, that's okay. And it's a good place to be, especially if you're a store, if there's just a lot of things going on. But we are excited to go down there. Portal Game Podcast is a product of a store called The Portal in Manchester, Connecticut. And for more information, you can go to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Speaking of Dice Tower, my awards, my votes are locked in. I have sent those on to Jason down at the Dice Tower and locked in my awards there. Kathy's are just about underway. She's picked hers and just needs to send those in, and same with Brian. So we'll have all our awards in. So we've got three voting members. So if you don't like the things that win, you can blame 3% of it on us. There's about 100. Well, there's going to be more than 100 people that vote all in all together. But yeah, it's about 3% on us in terms of all of that. So that's where that's going. Howdy. I think I'm just going to kick us off here by chatting a little bit about some games that I have recently played. And then I'm going to tell you about some games I'm excited to play, and we'll go to our other segments. So, let's see, what have I played here? Food Truck Champion. So I continue my quest for a in-print Glory to Rome-style game, and Food Truck Champion's another one of those. I talked about import-export recently. Food Truck Champion is by Daily Magic Games, so the idea is you own a food truck, and you are trying to prepare orders, collect ingredients, make sales, hire employees, and get your food truck up and running and score points before other players. It has the Glory to Rome system with multi-use cards, and it has the Puerto Rico, which is also Glory to Rome system of I pick an action, and then people can follow that action if they so choose, or do an alternate action. So essentially, I'm going to compare this to Glory to Rome for my recount of this play. So it's basically like a streamlined or a really ironed out version of Glory to Rome. And that sounds really good. So Glory to Rome, you play cards and you pitch them to the center. It's called the pool. And there's just a big pile of goldfish style cards just spread out on the table. But there's only 8 piles in Food Truck Champion. So a very specific set. And then you can kind of score things, and everything's worth points, and you're upgrading in Glory to Rome. In this one, you've got like stacks of tiles, and if you score a 1, 2, or 3 ingredient menu item, you score that many victory points, and then you upgrade once. And you gain your additional upgrades to have more orders going on, or to have more people helping you, and all that. So it works well, it moves quickly, all those kind of things. It's definitely a fun game, but it's missing the chaos of Glory to Rome. Now, I know Glory to Rome is out of print. I know it's super frustrating to listen to somebody, how about especially even representing a store, where you want to be like, oh, go to your store and get it. You can't. You can't get Glory to Rome. I don't know. I don't think it'll ever come back into print, I suppose. Man, it would seem like one of these days somebody would find a way to pick it up, but I guess it's just dead and buried, or even just making a pure clone of the game. But Food Truck Champion does a really good job. It's just at the end of the day, it was too ironed out. What's so fun in Glory to Rome are the buildings. And so what you're trying to do in Glory to Rome, instead of make contracts, is make buildings. And those buildings give you these wildly crazy powers. And those powers are really good. Food Truck Champion doesn't have any powers. So it's missing those powers. So the game is still good. It's compact. It's tight. It's a little tough to learn. And then it probably is 45 minutes to an hour. So I definitely suggest the game. I thought it was very fun. But I'm inevitably going to make that comparison, and it doesn't compare. So still, Glory to Rome is the king. I'm going to bring it to Dice Tower Con and teach Glory to Rome to a bunch of people who haven't played it yet, I guess. I mean, the game's now like 10 years old, 8 years old, something like that. So probably 10 years old. So people who have wanted to play have. But that was Food Truck Champion. Still a fun game in its own right. A couple of kids' games here. Got to play Castle Flutterstone. So this is a game from, I believe, Schmidt Spiel. Give me one second. Yeah. Yes. And this is a kids' game. And what you're trying to do is launch bats into a castle. And you either need to, and then you have a pawn that you're moving up the castle, and you actually move up, you build walls on the side of the box, you take the box apart and build the walls up, and you're trying to build up that castle, and move up the castle, whoever gets to the top first wins. So you launch these bats, they have this little device, and you hit it, and these little tiny cloth bats go flying up. It's pretty good. The control on these is decent. You know, you don't want to have so much control that it's easy, but you don't want to have so little control that it's irrelevant. And it's pretty good. So you're trying to launch them through the windows. You're trying to launch them into the pit, and then you get to draw random tiles that give you abilities. Or just land on the board. Or the sides of the castle walls let you move far. If you go all the way over and out, then you get nothing. And you're moving forward. There's little bridges that are out. And so you have to have enough movement to get over the bridge. You get stuck there, which I could see a source of frustration for kids. I could see this being a game at a con, like a Loop and Louie, Loop and Chewy, or those other kids' games that just really, you know, Ice Cool, that really attract people. It's fun. It's a cool little game. And the setup is really neat where you build these castle walls and then walk up the walls and try to land the bats. It was a good time. A little bit messy. You want to have your... Not messy, but you could lose those bats if you don't have kind of a controlled environment. But that was a cool game. Next up was a really neat idea for a game. The game is called Hermes from Wolfgang Lehmann and Haba. And in Hermes, what you're doing is each player has a sheet in front of them with an item that needs to be drawn. A bucket or a shovel. They're not all beach themed, but items like this, a hat. And you draw a card, and you have to draw that item, and all the other players are looking, and you're scratching with, like, a wooden doll. It's like a carved wooden doll onto, like, hard Velcro, and you scratch these out, and you're trying to get the other players to figure out what you're scratching. It's kind of like a mini deduction game, because you start to realize, like, oh, when I put three dots like that, you're looking for something that had three dots. Or if I draw a line, actually, hang on, I got the game right here. If I draw a line, I could either draw a line like this, or I could draw a line like this. Not sure if that's going to come out on there. And then you can hear that tapping, so you know there's dots. So you're kind of working your way through that, and it's decently loud. It's pretty well done. Now, the rest of the game is kind of like a memory element. You can flip over tiles and get them and set collection for getting things right. It just gamifies the game more. We had plenty of fun, almost like a Telestrations, just, hey, let's just do the activity. And it's got two sides. They're harder and easier to deduce. Really clever game. Haven't seen anything like that. Never really thought of sound in this way as like a deduction tool. So thought that was really neat, give a nod to that game. Recently, Zephyr and I dug out Rocky Road a la Mode. She wanted to play this again. Really catchy box. This is from Green Couch Games and Joshua Mills. And you own an ice cream truck and you're going around. And it's the same kind of thing with hand management and multi-use cards. And you're trying to get loyalty points, which are victory points. The first person to 9 wins. And then it's like a track that goes around and whoever's behind gets to go next. So that's kind of Glenmore, I think Takedo, some of those games that have that system. And the number of action points you spend like determines the number of cards you can draw. So it's kind of got like a ticket to ride. Really, really good small box game. It was really neat to see Zephra from last year to this year really pick up on the strategy of the game. And she got it. I think she beat me on a last turn. I can't remember. Oh, it's right here. She did. She beat me on like a last turn play, and I couldn't catch up. So, yeah, if you're looking for a small box game to go back over, that one was really good. That's Rocky Road a la mode from Green Couch Games. Definitely recommend. Got to play two games here at the Portal a little while ago. Both these I played with Jason Perez from Every Night is Game Night. And one of them here is Street Masters. So this is a new game from the Sadler Brothers. And I don't know the publisher on this, unfortunately. So Street Masters is not Street Fighter. It's really Double Dragon. So those of you who played Nintendo and Super Nintendo, Double Dragon, it's that here come all the enemies, a flood in, we've got our characters with powers, here we go. Jason describes it often on his podcast there. He said it was like Sentinels, the fighting game, the street fighting game or whatever. And I think that's a good idea. You've got your own personal deck with a character that's unique. You've got an enemy deck that you're fighting, and you've got a location deck that you're fighting. And then there's a bunch of minis that come out on the board. And so on your turn, you're able to like play a card, draw cards. You're able to roll some dice. The interesting part with the dice is they always hit, so it's a matter of whether they crit or whether they help you block. So you always get something out of a die roll. They're not blank, so you can kind of figure out what you want to do there. So that was kind of interesting. And then enemies just keep coming, and you're trying to take down that boss. There's little treasures you can get as you go, and as you eliminate enemies, you get bonuses. And then every character plays very different. One character was trying to build up all this power. Oh, yeah, when you get punched and hit too many times, you, like, release an ultimate ability. So kind of a Final Fantasy-esque thing where you build up power from taking pain and then put it on other people. So one character was focused on that. I was focused on, like, recurring cards from my discard pile and healing players and blocking. I don't remember what Jason did. It seemed like he had to, he kind of built up as well and then unleashed like a big power attack. So that's kind of how that worked. It was pretty fun. It was definitely fiddly. I don't know that the minis added anything to the game for me. Obviously minis are cool. And one of the major issues was like the minis for the characters are the same color as the minis for the enemies. And so sometimes it was hard to track what was yours. It really made me want to play Sentinels. It was a good game. I actually think with less players, it becomes less fiddly and it's probably better. And this might be really appealing for people that like Sentinels, because Sentinels, I believe you have to play at a minimum of two or three heroes. Here you could play with just one. But I'm not sure that it brought anything crazy new to the table. But I enjoyed it. I definitely didn't think it was bad, but yeah, just kind of that middle of the pack. But that was Street Masters. And then I got to play Commissioned. So Commissioned is a biblically themed game, I suppose. People have called it kind of reverse pandemic or Christian pandemic or something. That sounds terrible. the Christians are coming. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to spread the gospel around, you know, modern day world, that whole Mediterranean area. And so you're trying to build new churches. So you kind of have to bring three followers to a new place, and then you'll build a church there and move along. You can't move into new places unless you have people gathered. And then at the end of the round, it grows, and you get more people in there, and followers are cubes. So it kind of makes you feel that pandemic piece. But I thought this was really just going to be pandemic, and it wasn't. It had some pretty unique mechanisms that, I thought were going to kind of sour, and they were good. So you draw six cards from a deck that I believe is either 10 or 12 cards to start. And you play two face down, and then somebody is the elder, disciple, or apostle in the group, and everybody flips their two cards, and they get to pick any two of those to be played. Everybody discards the others. And then you pass the token, and everybody does that again, and you play another turn, and then at the end of that, you have two cards left, and you use those. They have a cost on them. You use that to buy new cards to add to your deck. So it's really a deck builder. My disciple that I played was John, and he could thin out people's decks so we could get rid of cards from people's decks. So I thought that was creative. And some other mechanisms like that. So what are you doing with these actions and abilities? Well, you're able to move your followers. You're able to kind of stop things. Like you can be told, no, you can't go here. You can't do this. You can't keep moving. You can't do missions, I believe it's called. Or you can't grow any further. So those kind of things. So you're trying to stop those. as well as just lots of unique abilities like calling your deck. Oh, and then there are books of the Bible. You need to write all the books of the New Testament by collecting them. Sometimes they come in like threes, so you're collecting a bunch of them. I think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John might have all been together, for example, that kind of thing. And Philemon was the one that got us. We just couldn't write that one, or Philemon, whichever way it's pronounced. And we struggled to do that, and so we lost not having written the New Testament, but we did spread the gospel to the whole land there. But I really enjoyed the game. The artwork is kind of this like old school biblical artwork, the pages and paintings you would see, you know, not necessarily all the way back in, you know, ancient European churches or whatever, but just kind of that old Bible style. So there was nothing really to write home there, but I thought the gameplay was pretty unique and there were some unique abilities. There's every turn you draw trial cards and they just hammer you over the head, and I thought those were going to be really frustrating, and at times they were, or just random. But mostly they were things to just survive. There was like a flood card that takes out like every church in a region if it only has one person, and that just ends the game. And that card was a little ridiculous. We were able to not suffer from it. So you could pull that card in terms of that. And you're trying to do this before the deck runs out. So yeah, that was commissioned, and I really enjoyed that. So those are the games that are on my table. Let me know what's on your table. You could email me at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com or just hit me up on Twitter at portalgaming60. I'm going to run through some of the games I'm excited to play. I did this segment a little while ago and it was really fun. And I enjoyed that, and it kind of helped me remember games that I'm looking forward to. So first off, being a big Final Fantasy fan, I'm excited to try the Final Fantasy trading card game. I looked at this. It's a pretty much a Magic clone. It has some different things, so I'm intrigued to see how that works out. But yeah, I got a couple decks there, and I'm going to try that out. I think I mentioned Hunt for the Ring before. Still trying to get that to the table, but I finally have a copy they sent us here that I'm going to do a demo night that I just didn't get to do yet. So there is that. The Pirate Republic is a game that I got in here that I'm going to try with Larry, who's been on the podcast a couple times. He's excited. He's always looking for that pirate game. Really interesting. This has two mechanisms from other games that are really neat. It's got kind of the deck control and action selection of Mage Knight, where you have icons on the cards, and you pick how to use the icons, and you can spend, in this one, it's reputation points. In Mage Knight, it's mana, and you can upgrade the card to do different abilities, and you play in rounds, and a round is when you run your deck out. So it has that, as well as in solo play, where you use another deck to determine that. So we're going to try that out. The other thing it has is it has the Crossroads card system from, everybody's yelling at me right now, Dead of Winter, Plaid Hat Games, and so you draw these Chaos cards. I thought they could have come up with a better card, a better name than Chaos for a pirate game. There had to have been something, Bermuda Triangle cards or something, right? That would have worked. But you hold these Chaos cards and they say, when the other player does this, then you trigger the card. And you just hold that card and it's when the player to your left. And if they never trigger it, then at the end of the round you discard and you draw a new one and you're kind of waiting for the player to do that. So it has those two mechanisms. I'm a little leery of you kind of move your ship and randomly flip tokens and fight the ships, and they could have 2 power and they could have 15 power and you don't know. So I'm not sure how that's all going to go, but we will check that out. Pirate Republic. What else do I see in front of me? Pixie Queen from, I don't even know who the publisher is on that. Don't remember, but Pixie Queen is supposed to be really rude, difficult, move backwards in points, worker placement game. Dragon's Gate College, I'm excited for, especially based on the theme, kind of a Harry Potter-esque theme. I guess if Harry Potter goes to college, we don't know what happens. He never goes to college, from what we've seen. That's NSKN Games, so I'm going to check that out. And then Keeper, which was a heavy cardboard golden elephant finalist for 2017. We're going to try this one out. Richard Breeze, that. So I think that's a majority of what I'm looking forward to playing. So we will stop here and move on to one of our other segments. Thank you, everybody. Okay, welcome back, everybody. I am here with
Kathy.
And we are reviewing Shards of Infinity vs.
Hero Realms.
Awesome. So, Shards of Infinity is a 2-4 player deck building game by Stoneblade Entertainment. And Hero Realms is a 1-4 player game, I think even 5 at times, by White Wizard Games. So that's that. They're very similar in approach. You're building a deck as you go. Both games, you start with 50 health, and you're trying to knock your opponent down to 0 health, or opponents if you play multiple player, and whatnot. So, Kathy, let's start with components of the two games. What things did you like from Shards of Infinity?
I liked that there was a dial to keep track of your health. There are kind of sturdy cardboard player cards, I guess.
Yep.
So I like that part of it.
How's the artwork in Shards of Infinity?
It's fine. It's not my favorite, but it's fine. It's pretty clear. Like, there's different factions, which I know we'll talk about later, but it's very clear what belongs to which faction.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the overall graphic design is really good. If anything, the art is a little small on the cards, and you've got the colored background in Shards of Infinity that takes up a lot, but gives you the, you know, what you need to know about the card.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the abilities are spelled out. There's no symbology, really. There's a little bit of symbology, but not too much. So there's that component, self-contained, two-player game. I think it was $20. Hero Realms, and we've got the co-op, so we'll talk about that as well. What did you like about Hero Realms?
I like the art better for Hero Realms. I feel like the cards are more detailed, more colorful. They have a nice feel to them. They're pretty sturdy.
Yeah, they're a little bit thicker.
Yep. I did not like as much the way to keep track of your health is you have two cards that you kind of layer, and you will slide one of the cards down to keep track of the different amount of health you have. And that was just too easy to knock out of the way, or it could shift easily. It's just another card on the table. So, it's not my favorite way to keep track of health.
How about the boxes?
The boxes?
Anything about the boxes stand out to you? This box versus this box?
Hero Realms is certainly more colorful and more eye-catching. Shards of Infinity, if I just looked at the box, it does not look like something I would want to play.
Mm-hmm. It's a little more futuristic.
It's futuristic. It looks like some sort of alien. It has a more basic color scheme. I feel like Hero Realms is very, very rich color. Lots of different, like, there's orcs on there and a wolf.
It's definitely thematically straight dungeon fantasy. There's no veering off that path, you know.
Yeah.
It's orcs and humans and skeletons and undead and dragons, right?
Yeah.
And all that.
Elves
so.
And
cool. All right. So there's kind of a component comparison. So probably the best way, the biggest mode for people in these are going to be the two-player game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we played, a bunch of each, right?
Yep.
We played a bunch of Hero Realms. We played this back in the day or whatever. We played Shards of Infinity somewhat recently, a whole bunch to get a read on that. And we played the two-player game. So they play very similarly in that you're trying to eliminate your opponent, get them down to 0 health and whatnot. So we got to play both the games. So, you're trying to knock the person down to 0 health. And you're drafting cards from the center, you're using gold, or in this one, what is it, crystals in Shards of Infinity?
Yes.
On your cards. Very much similar feel in that structure on the two-player game.
Yep.
Probably the biggest thing I noticed was Shards of Infinity wasn't really more swingy, but was faster. Like, it was like, here I come at you, here I come at you. One person's going damage, and it's kind of up to the other player to block that person and come up with an alternate strategy, or just punch them in the face.
Yep.
So Shards of Infinity really lent itself to a best 2 out of 3. I felt like a best 2 out of 3 for people who know the game would be probably not 30 minutes, but not much more than 40 minutes. There were definitely times you could play that game in 10 minutes. 10, 15 minutes? Do you think it was much longer? I mean, set up and all that, but like once you get it going and you know the cards, it's going to get really fast.
Yeah.
Whereas Hero Realms was probably a solid 30 minutes for a match, and you definitely build a deck that you're tailoring.
Yes.
You can cull cards pretty significantly. Well, I guess not necessarily, but there's a lot of draw card mechanisms. This one feels more like a classic Dominion deck builder to me.
Yeah, Hero Realms has a lot more nuanced combos.
Yep.
I think where Shards of Infinity is pretty much like all the purple cards work with each other, all the green cards work with each other. And I feel like with Hero Realms, it's more like figuring out, it's more nuanced.
Yep. So I guess the two main mechanisms that they differ are there are mercenaries and Shards of Infinity. So mercenaries are cards that come out and you can buy them, immediately use them, and then tuck them back under the deck. Or, which we got wrong on our first play, you can put them in your deck and they just function as a regular card. Which was a little interesting to me because I like that immediacy. But it felt like the value of them, especially early on, was, well, just put it in your deck, you know, unless it was something you needed. Now, we did start to find some things like, oh, if I need this card right now, I need to play another purple card or another green card or whatever. There was that element. And then Hero Realms has the trash cards mechanism. You can get cards, and then you can get rid of them to do an ability. Oh, see, that's why I was thinking there's more culling in this one.
Yeah.
Because that mechanism's there. So how did you feel about those two mechanisms? You don't even have to compare them, but just...
Right. I like the idea of the mercenary because I feel like so many times if I am in a game and I'm like, oh, if I had one more gold or one more damage or whatever, and that kind of gives you that option of being able to access a little bit more on that one crucial turn. So I think that's a fun element.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I liked it, especially endgame. You start doing that, or like, oh, I really need this to trigger on this. Oh, I can purchase that one in the center.
Right, yep.
And do that. So kind of going on that, you kind of already mentioned the nuanced comboing. I mean, basically every card in Hero Realms is built to combo with another card.
Yeah.
There's very few that are like, hey, this just does this on its own. It's like, hey, if you have another blue in play. They do tend to also be by color. They're getting you to pick the same colors. But you can still get two colors and drive a deck and go that way.
Yep.
But then there's the mastery system, which there's really nothing like that in Hero Realms at all.
Right.
So the mastery system in Shards of Infinity is this little dial that you can tick up every turn. You can play one crystal to tick it up one, and then there's cards that let you. And all, what would you say, half the cards? There's two in your starting deck, and maybe about a third of the cards that come out. Trigger off of your mastery being at 5 or 10 or 15.
Yeah.
Now, if you get your mastery to 30 and you draw your attack card from your starting deck, boom, you win the game.
Right.
It's infinite damage, you automatically win, which is really fun for that, like, let's go for this mechanism, but it definitely makes it like an all or nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it almost reminds me of Seven Wonders Duel with the science. Like, I'm just going to get science symbols and I can win the game outright and that's it. But there's no other game there if you're, like, there's minimal other game. Now, it's nice in that case that 5 and 10 and 15 trigger so that you can just go for those and if you happen to get to
the other. Well, and you also have to survive long enough to get your power up that high.
Which, there are cards with shields on them. And if you have them in your hand, boom, you just block.
Yep, that's true.
As opposed to Hero Realms where you put guards out, champions that are guards.
Yep.
In this game, when you put your champions out, there's only one in the game and he blocks all damage.
Yep.
Everybody else, you can just bypass.
Yeah.
What did you feel about the mastery?
I think it was good. I don't know. It seemed... well, you actually won by doing mastery over straight damage.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't find as much.
I really like it. I think it brings something new. I like it's not. It's what makes it not the same game.
That's true.
And then it's cool to be like drafting cards and being like, well, this isn't super powerful now, but if I can get my mastery to 10 and you know, maybe not the next cycle, but the next cycle through my deck. The issue with the mastery that makes it a little less interesting is that, like, because the game is, I'm calling it 10 minutes, it's probably more like 15, I don't get as many cycles through my deck as I would in Hero Realms. Hero right. Realms, you really get through your deck probably 10 to 12 times at least, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong. It always feels like more, and then you don't realize it wasn't as many, but that piece. Cool. And then what Hero Realms has that sets itself apart is if you buy the character packs, you have unique character powers. So you have a deck that's tailored to you, and you have character powers that are tailored to you. So how did you feel about that? You mostly played the Wizard?
Yeah,
exclusively played the Wizard. Are you exclusive Wizard?
at this juncture.
Is it a white Wizard? Because that's the company. No, she was black, right?
No, she was black, yeah. Yeah, I played. What was the question? I played the Wizard.
How do you feel about the asymmetric powers?
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, that's always makes it interesting. Kind of gives you a starting point.
You felt as though your power wasn't very good, I remember when we were playing. You had to take a damage to draw a card.
That's true.
And mine, let's see, when I played the Cleric, I could pay. You had to pay two, take a damage and draw a card.
Yeah.
I could pay two, heal three, and all my champions are plus one block for that turn.
Something like that.
So mine's definitely more immediate situation. Yours is more like, hope I draw something. Now, you were using it and drawing coins, which are worth one gold.
Yes. I feel like every time I used it, it was definitely not worth it. But I guess that's the luck of the draw. But I guess that's kind of what made it worse, is because it is literally luck of the draw. It's not even a guaranteed benefit.
I love the character packs. Now, Hero Realms is built off of Star Realms, which you may have played once or twice. Space game.
Mm.
So you're probably happy that they rethemed it fantasy.
Yes.
And it doesn't. Everybody starts with the exact same deck.
Right.
So you didn't, since you only played the Wizard, you didn't get the chance to try different ones.
Right.
Now, that's okay, because we're going to talk about the co-op in a second, where that's important that you don't play different ones.
Right.
And also, so that comparison wasn't as strong for you.
That one ability I didn't like, but my other cards and abilities were fine, so it was probably balanced. It was just that.
Yeah, you lit me up one turn, because your fireball was like deal 4 damage to every champion the opponent has, right?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
That's pretty
for sure.
Awesome. I mean, yeah.
It's single use, but that it was definitely cleared your playing area, which is nice.
All right, so in the last piece, which Shards of Infinity doesn't have, is there is a full co-op mode. I've got this campaign box, The Ruin of Thandar, and we played through all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was lightning fast.
Yes, it's like, super
again,
easy.
I want to say 15 minutes. You may tell me it was a little longer than that, and very easy. The second one, we had a little bit of trouble, and then just turned the corner, it was no problem. And the third one was a good, solid challenge, even though we survived it.
Yep.
You know, it was still definitely challenging, made us think how to use our decks, work together. That was probably the most interesting of them, for sure.
Yep.
And then it expands from there. There's three more, and then three more. It's supposed to be a total of 9 stories, I believe. So how did you feel about the co-op mode?
I really liked it. I liked how there was a little bit of story, and then you could go. I thought it was cool how they did the enemy and how I just worked really well, I felt like. I liked it.
Nice.
I liked how also I like it when you keep a character and they get better as you go along. You add new things or get new abilities. I like that in games, so.
Yeah, really key. So as you level, the story was great.
Yeah.
You have a little storybook, you read a whole story, you make choices.
Yep.
So if we wanted to replay it, we could make the opposite choices. It's basically binary. You pick this or that. You want to fight this person or run after this person.
Right.
But hey, you can just pick the opposite. You don't have to worry about, will I randomly do the same thing I did before?
Yeah.
And it was neat. Yeah, your character levels up, you get new abilities. Now, one negative to me is this box gives you all the upgrades, but you only get through 3 of the stories.
Yes.
So you get to the end, and they're like, congratulations, you won. You get all these upgrades that you now can't use.
Right. Yes, that's true.
The other quick thing to mention is, for multiplayer, Hero Realms has several modes in there, like a 2v2 and a three-headed monster for 3v3. It's got the whole you can only attack to the left, free-for-all. It mentions all these styles. I think all of those are well-known in Magic and other games. They're just putting them in the box. I think you could do those in Shards of Infinity and just basically copy the rules.
Yep.
So it's, you know, it's something, but they could have thought to put that in this one, I think, as well. So, there's that piece. Yeah, but we're definitely looking forward to this next one. There's also, I don't have them, there's boss decks. It's one versus all. Okay. So one person is a dragon or a Lich King, mm-hmm. and everybody else fights them, and they're like super overpowered deck, and you've got to take them down. And that sounds cool to me. I'm not always into 1v all, but hey, a 45-minute deck builder 1v all, that could be really fun. So
yeah,
there's definitely a lot more to Hero Realms, which I think is going to sway my opinion on the vote.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll go there. So yeah, let's wrap that up.
Okay.
So Shards of Infinity versus Hero Realms. What's your choice? Which one did you like better?
They're very close, actually, but I think I would go with Hero Realms, because it's versatile, and I like the theme better, and, I liked the, for the most part, I liked the art better, which is big for me in games, too.
Yeah, Hero Realms, they both hit the fun factor. They're both really fun. Two-player, I don't know, maybe four-player, we get bogged down, we get a little bored, whatever, I don't know. But the fun factor's there for both of them.
Yeah.
The cleverness is definitely more in Hero Realms.
Yep.
As cool as the mastery is, it's not very clever.
Right.
It's not very clever to be like, I'm going to take this card that gives me one mastery and pay for one mastery. That's just kind of what's there for you.
Yep.
But building a deck in Hero Realms and being like, okay, I've got red, but now there's no red cards. Oh, but this yellow strategy will play into my red strategy.
Right.
Is a little bit stronger than what's in here.
Yeah.
To me, Shards of Infinity is a better, like, hey, we're waiting for people to come over. Best 2 out of 3, 30 minutes. Let's play that. Hero Realms is a little more sit down. You got the co-op mode. You got the other modes. Now, with all the things that are in Hero Realms, I think that just gives it a leg up. Now, we'll have to wait and see if Shards of Infinity expands. I'm also intrigued. Star Realms has an app. Hero Realms does not. Stoneblade makes Ascension,
mm-hmm.
which has a very popular app that people almost exclusively play Ascension. Of course, we played that probably 90 times back in the day.
Right.
And Stoneblade, I'll be interested to see if they make an app out of this or where they go. Because I think once they expand this, they've got a lot of creative ideas they've done with Ascension over time. And so in that sense, it's not a fair comparison. So I never give ratings out of 10, but just for people to see how close they are, you know, you don't have to. Hero Realms to me is a 9, maybe pushing a 9.5 if I try some of the other modes and really like them. I haven't done like a 4-player.
Yeah.
And if this campaign just gets better,
mm-hmm.
it could really push into one of my favorite games. Shards of Infinity, still really good, probably an 8 or an 8.5. I think I'd give it an 8. It would push its potential to 8.5 if it expands better. Now, if they expand poorly, then they can come down. Or, you know, Hero Realms might hold its own. I just say, I didn't care for the second part of that.
And right.
Go from there. But, yeah, I think I'm in the Hero Realms camp with you. But either is a good buy.
Yeah.
They're both $20. You can't go wrong.
Yep.
Pick them up. Hero Realms is a smaller box. It's literally half the size. Slightly taller, but half the size. So, anything else? Hero Realms versus Shards of Infinity.
Try them both. I like Hero Realms better. I don't know.
See if you can prove Kathy wrong.
That's all I got.
Awesome. See ya. All right, everybody. I am here with...
Zephra.
And we are going to review what game today, Zeph?
Century Spice Road Golem Edition.
Good. And you've played both now, right? You've played Century Spice Road and you've played the Golem Edition?
Yes.
Do you have one that you like better?
I like the Century Spice Road.
You like the Spice Road one better. Mm-hmm. Cool. So what are we trying to do in Century? What's the goal of the game?
We're trying to get the most points, but also 5 of what
cards.
5 cards.
Nice. Yeah. And so how do you take actions? What do you do on your turn?
So you can either play cards or pick up cards.
And when you play a card, what happens?
You do what the card says to do.
Cool. And what can the card say to do?
You can either trade things up or trade things for other things.
Okay. And what are the things in the Golem Edition here?
Instead of little cubes, they're little diamonds.
Do you like the little diamonds and the crystals?
Yeah.
They're your favorite part?
Probably.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Yeah, so you're trying to trade in the colors to get better ones. So what's fun about that? What do you like about playing the cards and picking up the cards and all that?
Kind of trying to get the goal cards is sort of fun.
Mm-hmm. And does the game make you think a lot?
Yes.
Yeah, why is it making you think?
Because you have to think of ways to try to get the new diamonds and get rid of your diamonds.
Nice, perfect. Is it a fast game? Is it a slow game?
It's sort of slow, but also very fast.
Explain that a little bit. What do you mean by sort of slow, but also fast?
So it depends on how you play the game. Sometimes it can go kind of slow, but sometimes it can go fast.
All right, cool. So what else about Century Golem? Do you like the artwork here?
Yes.
Nice. And anything else?
No.
All right. Do you want to give it a rating out of 10?
I'll give it an 8.
8 out of 10 for the Golem edition. How about the Spice Road edition?
A 9.
A 9 out of 10. So you really like the theme in Spice Road better?
Yes.
And the cubes?
Mm-hmm.
Cool?
I like the diamonds better, though.
Oh, you like the diamonds better in that one. All right. Cool. So that's Zephra. 8 out of 10, Century Golem Edition. 9 out of 10, Century Spice Road. Say bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There we go. Episode 91 comes to a close. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to Kathy. Thanks to Zephra for joining me somewhat as always. I think that's pretty much it. We'll put a bow on this one and getting close to finishing out school here in Connecticut, and then we are on our way to Dice Tower Con. So that should be really exciting, and we'll have all sorts of info for you from there. So I think that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, Portal Gaming Podcast. I am your host, The Brant, and until next time, I hope you step into the portal. Portal Game Podcast, the product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on June 18th, 2018. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Game Podcast, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Hey, thanks for listening.